Two brand new tickets are making their presence felt in D.C. From U Street to downtown, from Adams Morgan to Anacostia. Introducing the District Diamonds and 51st Scratchers from D.C. Lottery. Inspired by the District. Made for the District. With prizes up to $151,000. Grab them today from your local D.C. Lottery retailer. Because here in D.C., this is how we play. Please play responsibly.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
I am Hallie Castor Jane, and welcome to the Hallie Castor Jane Show. We're along with my partner in politics, veteran White House correspondent, and Time and Newsweek alum Matthew Cooper. We slice and dice all things politics, and some days our lawmakers too. Before we get started, the Hallie Castor Jane Show podcast is always available at HallieCastorJane.com and wherever you most like to listen to your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Hallie Show Quotes. Now, limbo is a place in hell, never a good place to be. And that's where Joe Biden and his Democratic Party find themselves this week. Build back better, infrastructure, reconciliation, COVID-19. What will the January 6th committee do when the Republicans defy their subpoenas? The country is on hold, in limbo, as they say, never a good place to be. And that's just where we begin. Settle back. There's a lot to get to. It's Hallie and Matt time. Here we go. Good morning, Matthew.
Hey, good morning, Hallie. Oh, how are you?
You sound very chipper. Oh, God, I can't stand chipper.
Oh, it's all fake.
Yeah, well, I can relate to that.
The world is terrible.
The world is screwed.
I'm trying to put on a sunny face.
You and everybody else. That's really interesting because you know what I wanted to start with this week? I'm calling this week Limbo is a Place in Hell. And I think that's where we are as a nation.
Limbo.
Limbo. Chubby Checker. Limbo. Do the limbo rock. Everything's on hold. We're getting nowhere. Last week I said it was a hamster on a wheel. This week I'm calling it limbo because it's just like we just can't fit complete anything here.
And right.
And everybody's lives are kind of in this weird kind of waiting place. And I think it's wearing on people. Frankly, I did a study among my friends, and they all feel the same way. What about you?
Yeah, well, I can't blame them, you know.
So,
I mean, it's hard because, you know, I mean, the pandemic is still here. People have to, you know, deal with that, but it's you know, it's not at the levels it was, but it's not going away, and, you know, we're kind of stuck with that. Biden's agenda is kind of stuck. We've got a divided Congress, so it's kind of stuck. You know, we're kind of stuck.
Stuck. So stuck is not a good place. Stuck is not a good place to be. So let's start here. The story that has me just freaked out right now is the January 6th committee. Lord have mercy. Waiting isn't even to begin to tell the story. But this whole story about what are they doing? Why are they? Every sentence is we will, not we are. Does that not frustrate you?
Well, what do you?
Okay, so on these subpoenas. The conversation around this is the biggest frustration I think Americans Democratic voters are feeling at the moment, which is what is going on here. Everybody is defying everything, and we will do this, we will do that. Well, this goes back to Mueller. They don't follow through, Matt. Why believe anything a Democrat says if all they do is say, we will, future tense, Whether that's the right move right now where they don't have any choice, that isn't the point. They are screwing with the voters' hearts and minds right now. They're dedicated followers. And you can look all over the internet, you can talk to your friends, and it all reflects the fact that the Democrats just don't stand for what they say, including infrastructure and Build Back Better, which we'll talk about in a minute. Do you get my drift here?
Oh, yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from. Well, these subpoena, you know, they're supposed to, the Trump officials are supposed to testify this week when they don't show up.
Today.
Yeah, we'll see what they do.
But here's the thing. I mean, Bannon gave him warning last week and gave him papers yesterday. They should have marched their guy right out to get Bannon and put him in jail. I mean, what are they waiting for?
That's a fair question.
So you lose your voter, Matt, when you don't stand. Look, I don't like Trump. I don't like any of those Republicans. I don't like their style. But you know what? They say what they mean and they do what they say. Democrats don't. Polite versus, you know, whatever.
Well, right.
So this translates into everything with Biden. We're living in different times today. Biden is old school. Biden is, you know, and Nancy Pelosi, polite. There's a way we do things in Congress. But you're playing by one set of rules and everybody else is playing by another. You can't win.
Right. You can't win. Well,
you don't sound as enraged as I am. I mean, enraged.
No. I mean, we'll see what they do now. I mean, now we're going to find out what they do.
Or what Merrick Garland
does. Or what they don't do.
Or what Merrick Garland does, because isn't this about that? I mean, aren't they passing the buck to him?
Right. No, there's a question about what he does. I think we'll find out.
Yeah, he hasn't signaled in any way, you know, that he wants to go up against the executive branch.
No, there's no question he's not eager to do that.
So,
and so he's deferred to Trump and Trump allies on some questions. And I don't know what he's going to do. But I mean, you raise a legitimate point. We're going to find out. We'll see what Liz Cheney has to say about this.
Well, the thing is, even Liz Cheney is playing that game, because Liz Cheney has said all along, you know, we're all standing together on this. Jamie Raskin, who dodged one hell of a crazy interview on Sunday morning, by the way, did you happen to see him?
Because no.
I wouldn't have expected this of him, but he was deferring to what's his name, the head of the committee, and being very cagey in his answers to ABC on the issue of what they're planning to do. Because we all know that none of these people they're going to fool around with it. I mean, Bannon says I'm not going to go, and some of the others may just, you know, they're talking to the committee, but the committee subpoenaed them on a lot more than just talk. Where are the papers? Where are the this? Where are the that? And even Jamie Raskin, who had been so good in the impeachment thing, except that he too didn't subpoena anybody, kind of was dodging the questions or what they planned to do. But they all did say, I'll give them this, that they felt that there was some cooperation. Well, that's what the Republicans and Trump are good at, playing the game.
Yeah. Well, I hear where you're coming from. We'll see what happens.
I'm listening.
I mean, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they'll cuff him or not. They probably won't.
And what happens then?
I don't know. Nobody's done it on either side in like 100 years. So it's a big deal if they do it.
When was the last time that we had an insurrection?
It's been a while. Not counting January.
And by the way, ongoing. Because anybody who thinks it's not is a fool. It's ongoing. The coup was ongoing.
Well, there's no question. They're making clear what they're going to do next time.
wait. Listen, folks, this is what you're going to hear from me for the next hour. Wait. Also, back to Manchin and Sinema and the S&M duo and the Democrats.
Right.
Screwing around with Biden's agenda. Where's all this now?
Well, they have kind of a self-imposed deadline of the end of the month to get this done. I don't think they will get it done by the end of the month. You know, they're arguing about what to keep in this big grab bag bill of stuff. Do you keep the expanded Medicare stuff? Do you keep the child tax credit? Do you keep paid family leave? Do you keep all the clean energy stuff? There's a lot in the bill. And so now they're talking about what you could jettison to get the overall number down to a place where they can get a deal. And they're still at it. And I think they're going to be at it for a while. I don't think they're going to be able to get it by the end of the month. You know, the progressives are kind of digging in on not wanting to go too low. And they're signaling no deal is better than a deal. So this is going to take a little while. I still tend to think they're going to get it. At the end, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty, but I think they're going to get something.
But
I tend to be optimistic.
This is getting in the weeds, and this is where you like to go. This bill is amateurized over a 10-year period, am I right?
It can be. I mean, it is, but you could sort of front-load it, so you really just put all the money in the first 5 years,
so
let's say.
So the way that they're approaching this seems to me to be that they're approaching it by let's cut programs. Why don't they change the way it's amateurized, keep the programs, and play with the way it's enacted, cutting it to 5 years rather than 10 years?
So. Well, that's definitely under consideration.
I haven't heard that. It is?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely under consideration. It is in the weeds, but these reconciliation bills are 10 years, but you can front load them if you want, or back load them if you want. So they could do that. They could try to keep, you know, not jettison parts of it, but just keep all the spending to 5 years in effect. That's one way to go. But
So why wouldn't they go that way? Because let me answer my own question for a second, and then you respond to my answer, if you don't mind. My answer to that is because certain people just want to dick around with this and not make a deal. S&M.
Well, I think M wants to make a deal. I don't know about S. You know, Manchin is,
He
is pretty straightforward about his general approach to these things. So, you know, he may not like it, but I think you kind of know where he stands. And but she's more of a cipher.
She's off in Europe right now, raising money.
Right. She's off in Europe. Well, the reason to get rid of some of it is that there is disagreement about different parts of it. Do you means test the child tax credit? Do you add a work requirement to the child tax credit? Do you have the full paid family leave? There's not total consensus on that. You know, there are other parts of it that they're still disputing. You know, Sinema's wary of raising corporate taxes at all, and she's also kind of come out against the thing that would raise a lot of revenue, which is negotiating for having Medicare have the authority to negotiate for lower drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies. So there's a lot to work. There's a lot to work out.
Okay.
I think they'll get there eventually.
Well, if they don't get there, that's a conversation I don't think anybody ever wants to have.
Well, this is the problem when you try to do, you know,
big things,
LBJ and FDR style things with no Congress and no majority to speak of. It's just very tough.
How do you think Biden's doing in orchestrating all of this? And
not great. I think he joined the process fairly late. But now that he's in it, we're going to see the degree to which he's able to knock heads and use his 36 years as a senator and 8 years as president of the Senate to see what he can get. now's the crunch time for him. But so far, I think only meh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we talked about this last week, but I want to bring it up again because I think it's still an issue, and that is that every poll is showing that people have no idea what is in all of this.
Right. Well, this is a disaster for the Democrats. I think all the argument's been about the top line number and spending, but people don't know the stuff that's in there. When they do know, they like the stuff.
Particularly in places, by the way, that have been polled, like West Virginia. And Arizona.
Absolutely. And you know, you want to get your geezers back before the next election, and nothing like getting Medicare to cover dental and vision to do that. So they need to really tout what's in it and sell it that way instead of be arguing amongst themselves about, you know, astronomical numbers.
Here's the deal. So just to show you how lame the Democrats are at this messaging game, that this is something that was pointed out over 14 days ago. And in 14 days, Biden came on and did one five-minute speech about what's in the bill and went to one state. And that is all.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's, you know, he's doing COVID briefings and he's taking questions on the way to, you know, weekend at the beach, and I don't think they're really selling it.
No, nope, they are not.
I agree. I don't think they're selling that. I mean, I think, why isn't he down in your neck of the woods with the seniors selling the Medicare part of it, you know?
Put an ad on TV?
Yeah, I mean, there's some, but they're not enough, and
it's bad.
You know,
it's bad.
I mean, as you say, the Republicans are better at this stuff. You know, they did have Donald Trump sign the stimulus checks.
No, Donald Trump signed them. They didn't have them. He did it. They need to hire Trump.
It's gaudy, but it works.
But it works, sure. Yeah, and getting letters in the mail with, you're getting this because I gave this to you. You know,
exactly.
In the stimulus package. But, okay, so the biggest problem, I think, that take all of that, and what happens is this drags out. And the more time it drags out, the more the Republicans get their chance to do their messaging, which is, to begin with, so much better. So there is that element to this story as well. They better hurry up, because they're being made mincemeat. And as Terry McAuliffe, who we'll talk about in a minute, said so eloquently, will you please get the damn infrastructure bill passed, and I won't have a problem getting elected. I mean, it's insane. Okay, we're off on that. Let's go to COVID.
Okay, I think we're in agreement on that, though, right?
Absolutely on agreement. You know, they need to hire you and me. Or is it you and I?
One of us.
Yeah.
Either of us. Both of us, I don't know.
We get it. You know, it's a really simple thing to message, by the way. It really is. It's so silly. You just get a bunch of seniors to do, you know, with great faces, to do interviews and make them into ads.
That's what I'd be doing.
I would be doing it. All right. Well, mandates work. Hello. What a big surprise. All of these companies that were forced into mandates because they take Fed money are proving that mandates work, because people mostly are getting vaccinated, and I think the percentage of those who are refusing are so minuscule, it's like ridiculous. But can I talk about Kyrie Irving?
Sure.
So this NBA player says, I'm not getting vaccinated, and the press just goes, you know, goo goo gaga, and, you know, give him all this kind of focus. And he said something, I think it was last night, which cracked me up, and he said, why are they picking on me? I'm just a basketball player. And that's true, Matt. And it's something that's bothered me forever and a day. And in the context of what's going on with COVID and getting people vaccinated, and so many African Americans refusing, and so many of them are, you know, ball players. We give our ball players way too much stuff in this country. I just got to say it. And I'm a girl who grew up with the New York Yankees in her home. Great people, but not rocket scientists. Could the press make an issue of somebody who is either not a lunatic Republican or a basketball player or whatever? It's insanity to give this guy that much store so that he can influence a whole, you know, community. And he said it himself. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No. Look, we pay attention to what athletes and actors and certain people say.
Well, actors are smart. Hey, that's how I started.
Well, they're like the rest of us. Some are smart, some aren't.
Right. But you know what I'm saying. But I mean, the only reason this Kyrie Irving has any story, you know, credence at all to the press is the fact that he's a basketball player.
Well, there's no question the corporate mandates are having some effect. I think it is worrisome in police forces and hospitals where healthcare workers and cops are not getting the shots. They're refusing. They're facing very large layoffs or furloughs in lots of major police departments. And at small hospitals, you know, you have a lot of reports of, you know, just the staffs, you know, these are big walkouts and, or firings or quittings, whatever, however it manifests itself. And so I do worry about them. The mandates are not working in certain groups.
It's interesting you said that. I'm going to digress for a minute because it's something that has me incredibly worried, particularly with the police forces. So in that conversation, they're finding out that there's a lot of white supremacy embedded in our police forces. You certainly are aware of what's going on there, right?
Well, I've seen some reports, yeah.
This is off the wall, and I wanted to talk about it, so this seems like a perfect time to do it. And that is how we are training, and a lot of these people, by the way, are military trained. They're former military. We're training our armed forces right now to be terrorists, Matt. And I think that's translating into their behavior here. We don't have warriors. We've trained terrorists.
And the evidence of that is
how they respond. I was trying to think of what's the missing piece between the difference between when you train somebody to be a warrior versus how you train them to be a terrorist. And when you train a terrorist, it's a very black and white kind of thing. I'm all for versus against. I'm 100% patriot. I can't be wrong. The world is a very black and white place, and that's why terrorists are terrorists, because you can't move them off their mark. And, you know, I'm watching ads in the middle of the night sometimes, and, you know, for like flashlights, and they have these warrior camouflage gear. Have you seen those ads?
Yeah.
And they're frightening to me. But there's a whole, I mean, they know that there are thousands and millions of people who are going to go buy a product because of the way it's presented in this kind of like we're terrorists kind of way. I think that's infiltrating the psyche of the United States of America right now and our police forces.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'd say a couple of things. One is I do think the police in general have become too militarized, and, you know, there's been debate about giving all these surplus military weapons to police departments, like tanks and crap.
Right. It's weird.
So, yeah, it's weird. It's bad. I don't think they need to be, you know, small armies. And, you know, there's been too much of that. But getting back to the original point, I'm not seeing any signs that these walkouts of nurses and
I didn't say
some
nurses.
Teachers.
I didn't say nurses and I didn't say teachers. I was referring to
yeah, but
the
cops.
Police.
I was just a first sentence. Yeah. I don't think there's any sign that the cop walkouts are white supremacist.
Oh. Well, honey, come to Florida.
Well,
come to the South. Not just Florida, come to the South. I mean, a lot of the issues that are going on, and by the way, up in places like Oregon and out in the fields too, you know, our military are trained differently today. It's not a, you know, it's a place where people who don't have a chance in life go, and they're usually the poorest from places like, you know, West Virginia or the, you know, outskirts of, you know, the Pacific Northwest. I mean, these are people who don't have a choice and they're not the best educated and they come from farm families, you know, and they come from narrowly focused, you know, unexposed people who wind up in our military. God bless them, but that's the fact.
Yeah, well, it's less true than it was. I just don't see, I mean, I don't see the evidence that the walkouts in police departments and refusing to get vaccine is white supremacist related. But in any event, just getting back to your original point that, you know, the mandates are working. I agree with you. You know, like the American Airlines mandates are working, but they're not working everywhere.
So they have to figure out a way to get them to work everywhere.
Agree.
Yeah. You know, but...
I don't know. You may have to pay people.
Why?
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Oh, you mean...
Well, that's an option.
But I don't know whether they would take the money because they're
lot of people apparently, you know, would. And, I mean, it was tried in some places. And
some would.
I don't think it was a lot of money.
No. $100, I think, or something like that. But they're giving them 3 days off. They're giving
You know,
them...
people were doing it for beer. I mean, I don't know, but I don't think it's...
I mean, I've had conversations with nurses who refuse to get the vaccine, and they have no answer for you. They just
not much.
There's no answer. There's no, I'm afraid that it's going to do this. There's this. It's just I'm just not ready to do it.
No, look, there are a lot of people who won't do it because you're making them do it.
Right. I mean, it's just like children.
Right. So you have to, like, you know,
cajole.
Do something else for some of them.
We are living with some crazy people in some very crazy times. That's all I have.
I mean,
to say.
You may have to bribe them.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll give you a licorice stick if you get the vaccine.
Yeah, you get another couple of vacation days. You know? I don't know, something. I mean, I don't know, but it's not good to have, you know, hundreds of police not showing up for work.
Well. For everyone who doesn't show up at work, go find somebody else who's willing to work, and you probably have a better police force. My opinion, if they're that stupid and they're that willing to get off the mark because they don't want to get it, they shouldn't be on the force in the first place. You're weeding out the trash. That's...
Well,
that's a way... Yeah?
That's a fair position, but in the meantime, you know, you get an understaffed police, understaffed hospitals. That's not... Even if you did sort of take a scab approach and just, you know...
Get rid of
fire them and get well, that's not something you can turn around in a day.
Well, we're going to have a conversation in a minute about people who are working. I wanted to get to Moderna and Pfizer for a quick second and just say that something is very annoying about them too, because this pandemic can't get finished until the entire world is inoculated from it. So that means getting the vaccine out to as many, you know, nation worldwide as we can, and there's they can't do it. They don't have the technology to produce that kind of bulk medicine. So other companies have said, "Give us the technology, and we'll do it too." And they won't do it.
Nope.
Little understood, focused on story. It's disgusting. They have made a gazillion dollars. I mean, these two men at Moderna and Pfizer are getting into Jeff Bezos, you know, kind of dollars here. It's disgusting. And people should be pissed off about that.
And of course, a lot of federal money was used to get their vaccines in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is the story that I think the press is, put the pressure on these dudes, and maybe something important will happen. Biden poll numbers?
Yeah, well, mixed bag, you know. He's put back up in some of them, but they were dipping a lot.
And why are they up? Do they know why they're up?
I think it's COVID. I think it's, you know, the Delta variant's eased a little bit. Hospitalizations are down. Deaths are down. I think it's almost rising and falling in tandem with COVID.
So we shouldn't pay too much store?
No, I pay a lot of store. I think it can always get worse on COVID. And, you know, Afghanistan didn't help him. So, you know, there's always stuff that can happen that sucks for the White House. So, yeah, no, they should worry. I think the midterms are not looking great.
Well, those are for different reasons.
Yeah, well, you know, it's pretty related to COVID. I think there are a lot of senators who can, I think they can definitely lose the Senate, and I think almost certainly will lose the House. So, yeah, not good.
It's interesting because, like, there's a lot wrong going on right now, and I think the economics is something to discuss here, because this economy is in some ways more screwed for the party than it was before. People weren't going to work and, you know, were out of, you know, unemployed, and that's lousy, but they were getting paid to be unemployed, thank you, the federal government, and in some places the local. But the price of gas has doubled. You cannot buy meat, red meat, even chicken. I mean, the food prices are added. Everything is so sky high, but the gas thing, and here comes winter, and the price of heating is supposed to be astronomical. And
right.
The consumer price index 5.4 does not reflect that. And that's where I think a lot of this is going to get really scary. And what are they doing about it? So they say it's a supply chain problem.
Well, that is part of it.
You know, let's see. He's been in office now, what, 9 months? 10 months? Come on. Why are they dealing with this now? This is like, are you kidding me? It's nuts. This is another mistake that they're making. So the COLA increase comes, and for seniors that looks really great, right? The highest in decades, but so is inflation, the highest in decades.
Right. Yeah, no, seniors get to keep even on their Social Security, but, you know, everyone else is going to, you know, be in a situation where prices are rising much faster than wages, and that's bad news. Look, you and I both lived through inflationary periods,
right.
And it's not pretty. It's not pretty. So
I just don't think they're addressing it to in the manner in which they have, and I also think it's suspicious. Can I put my suspicion in there on the price of gas?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, old Trump and his friends, the Saudis, I mean, you know, there's stuff that goes on that people don't like to talk about, but I feel like this one is man-made, politically made, at least on the price of gas. Now, I know that Trump has stopped some of the stuff that Biden has stopped some of the stuff that Trump put in for ecological reasons and that kind of thing. But I don't know. That oil thing, you know, we know how that can be played with.
Yeah. Well, we're regardless of how it happened, we got the high prices, and I agree, it's gonna hurt.
It's gonna kill him.
Yep.
It's gonna be I think it'll finish his presidency, because I don't think people are gonna put up with it.
Well, I think if it continues like this, it's going to be a real problem for him. If it abates a bit in the next 13 months, then I think he'll, you know, he can kind of
ride it out.
He's got, it's 3 years before a presidential election. Well, there is some time for this.
Well, I think it helps. It doesn't. It also affects the midterms. How was the price of gas where you are? Do you know?
Four something.
Mm.
Yeah, that's in the city. It's always higher in
It was 318.
Yeah, but you see a lot of fours around here.
I haven't seen a four.
Yeah. Well, but there's no question prices are, you know, you don't want a situation where crime's up, prices are up.
No, I mean, all right, tell me something good.
People still have a pandemic going on. It's not fun.
Tell me something good.
I think the good thing is people are back at work, and there's a lot of cash on hand. People saved a lot during this thing. That's part of why were getting inflation is people didn't spend for a long time. And now they're spending like crazy. And they have the money to do it. Not everyone, of course, but a lot of people. So I think that's, you know.
So what happens with that money once they start spending it? Because ultimately they will. They're being forced to spend it because of the inflation. That corrects it?
Well,
I ain't no economist, honey.
Yeah, well, it can fuel inflation, but it also, you know, keeps jobs moving. You know, we don't have a very high unemployment rate, so that's good. But look, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's a tough picture.
So let's bring Mr. Trump back into our conversation. Remember him, right?
I love him.
So now he's telling his supporters don't vote in 22 or 24 if this...
Yeah, well, he's back to that again, like the Georgia Senate race. Yeah, he wants to screw with the Republicans, too.
What?
You know, he's only in it for Trump.
Well, you say that as if I don't know that, but I just kind of...
No, I know you know it.
I'm just curious as to why they think that they're getting... that this works for them, the Republicans. So these people have no pride.
They just don't want to get on his bad side. So there's Chuck Grassley, 88.
God.
Nothing to lose, except he wants to run again. And... you know, showing up at Trump rallies a few months after criticizing him. You know, they all have spines of jello.
They all have osteoporosis of the spine. That's what they have.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, you know, they're all suck
and,
up to
and
him.
They could all use Viagra.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. Just... You know, to me, it's nonsensical, kiddo. That's all.
I agree, but, you know.
It's just so bizarre, and it just doesn't make any sense, half of it. By the way, didn't we talk about the post office that he owns, the hotel that he leased, the old post office?
Yeah.
So he's close to selling it, and I can't remember. I was looking at that right before I patched you in. As to who it was, because I wanted to know who the company was who's bailing him out big time on this, but I didn't get around to doing that. But I do think it's interesting that he is getting bailed out and somebody's buying it, because it's a losing proposition if he was, it turns out, was losing all that money during his own presidency when he owned the building and he was sending everybody and their cousin to that place. So somebody's buying him out. Again.
Right. Well, you know, he's lost so much on his properties. I mean, some of it's COVID-related, the resorts and whatnot. But, you know, just generally, he's been over-leveraged.
Yeah, well, we all know.
Business.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, he managed to lose money running a casino. You know, that takes some doing.
Well, he's not a businessman.
No.
Yeah, let's call it for what it is. He's not, and that's kind of a pathetic little thing. But it does concern me. The media needs to be reporting that story in a different manner in which they are. Again, you talked about the media this week on your Twitter feed. Didn't you write a piece about how Chuck Schumer had to educate the media and how to?
I did.
Talk about that.
Well,
or the Washington Monthly.
Well, yeah.
Let's give the Washington Monthly.
Sure. WashingtonMonthly.com. You can
great place
see it there. I mean, it's here's the thing: this debt ceiling. The media has largely been covering it in sort of old-fashioned terms of it's a standoff. You know, who's going to blink first? Each side is playing games. Well, that's not really an accurate way to describe it. This is a case of the Republicans holding the country hostage, threatening to blow us up by, you know, allowing the debt ceiling not to be raised. And it is a very one-sided thing that the press seems incapable of labeling as such. And so Schumer basically did that on the Senate floor, and I think that kind of force the media to cover him and thus make the points they they should be making on their own. You know, look, the Republicans are engaged in a reckless game with the national debt in order to be able to label the Democrats as big spenders. Well, you know, I don't think that's not right. It's not good. They've you know, made it sound like raising national debt is a big spending spree. It's just to pay for bills we've already run up.
Yeah, Trump's $3.7 trillion tax cut.
Yes, tax cuts and every other thing we spend money on. You know, we have to pay for it. I think eventually we will, as we always have for 240 odd years. So, you know, it'll happen. But, man, the Republicans are really, you know, they're really being reckless about this.
And again, you know, thank you to my good friend Matthew Cooper, journalist, great journalist that he is. He pointed out what needed to be pointed out that nobody else pointed out. And we can't keep having this quid pro quo journalism because A doesn't equal B anymore.
No, you can't do both sides.
No. It's just
a game.
Exactly. And, you know, and I think a lot of, you know, the journalism can forward a meme too. And I think they've been remiss, but you've heard it from me for years now. You know, since Trump came into play, as to how remiss journalism can be in all of this. So thank you for that piece. I think it's very important. Yeah. Go read it at WashingtonMonthly.com.
Thanks, Hallie.
You're welcome, sweetie. So I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, you know I am. I run on being angry. But I am not alone. So there's this new thing that's coming into play that I think is going to prove to be incredibly interesting. We were talking about the police people walking off the job because they don't want to get their vaccinations and, you know, and the healthcare workers choosing the same. But you know what? Other places, they are striking. Remember strikes? Wage people, earning people saying, I've had enough. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. And I am on strike. Union taking over. Thank you, John Deere, is one of the companies posting ridiculous profits and giving measly wage increases to people in this horrid, horrid time that we're living in. They're emboldened.
Yeah, no question. Workers have some leverage now, you know. A lot of jobs going unfilled, labor market's tight, you know. They can ask for more, and in some places they're getting it. So, you know, that's a good thing.
That's a great thing. And it's interesting that Trump could died. And this happens now. He used to be the head of the union.
Right.
So I'm fascinated by this, and I think this is going to have a very long, important, on what happens in the next 2 years. You guys, you do it, because it's disgusting, the profits that they're making, and the CEOs are taking home. They couldn't spend it in 20 lifetimes. Right?
No, there's no question. The you know, the ratio of what executives are making to average workers at their companies has just exploded in the last decades.
It's Charles Dickens time. Christmas, I wanted to go back to this, is on hold, because I do think that, I made a note for myself to say this, that the supply chain problem is an issue that's big time. But it's really an issue because the Republicans in 5 seconds turned it into a Christmas story. And boy, they do Christmas better than anybody, right?
Right.
Merry Christmas, not happy holidays.
Right. You don't get it right. And this, the new version of that is, if you don't get your kid the toy he wants, it's Biden's fault.
Yep. Very frightening. Very frightening. That one's going to have legs. You wanted to talk about Facebook? I think Facebook is a non-entity, but okay, go for it.
Well, I do think this whistleblower has focused even more attention on Facebook's, malevolent role, I think, in our culture. I mean, more than any of the other tech companies, it does seem to be sowing distrust, not only here, but around the world. Because of its algorithms, because of the way it delivers information to people. And, you know, Facebook's been very defensive or citing how much they spend on trying to get rid of hate speech. But it's, you know, both parties in Congress are pissed off. You don't see that a lot. And I'll be curious what happens next with it.
The only reason that I say is because I think this is a story for the elites and not necessarily for the everyday user.
Well, it could be. Could be.
There's our could be. Haven't done that in a while.
Could be.
Could be. I just, it's people can't even say the word algorithm, you know.
Right, but if it's driving the Trump and the MAGA.
Well, it is. And no, don't misunderstand me.
That's something regular.
If you ask me, all of these things should be taken off, including Twitter. I've had that conversation. You know, I'm so tired of living my life looking at a screen all day long and talking to people who, you know, I can't touch.
Right.
Need a little physical contact here.
I don't know. I think it plays. I think parents are seeing it and they're pissed off about, you know, the intrusion into their kids' life of this.
So the parents' way around that is tell your kid they can't be on Facebook.
Yeah, well, not
whoops. Whoa. That's my doggy. That's Matzo Ball. You've not met Matzo Ball.
No, I have not.
You just did.
I only know the legend.
Come here. He's so cute. I'll tell you, he's a good watchdog. So somebody's coming or not.
Clearly.
Yeah. I mean, thank God. All right. But anyway, sorry for the interruption. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, stop letting your kids use these social media sites 24/7.
Not that easy to do.
No, I understand. But you know, and on that topic, very quickly, going back to work. A lot of people are choosing not to go back to work. And I think there's, I'm projecting that there's a story where parents are saying, you know what, maybe somebody needs to stay at home and raise these kids. Yeah. And I think that's reflected in some of these numbers and some of this with people not going back to work. I think that's going to be a story I'm projecting. Because that's something that was learned during the pandemic, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think there's that. People reassessing their lives. Do I want to go back to my crappy job?
Right.
Now they've got a little space and a little leverage, but, you know, that's going to run out with the, you know, unemployment's not going to be extended forever. Rent moratoriums are going to end. I mean, eviction moratoriums are going to end. So, you know, we'll see.
Votes are coming up for Biden's nominees for ambassadorships, and a little-known story is the fact that Ted Cruz has been very successful in stopping getting confirmed. You got anything on that?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a problem.
Oh, yeah. It's a big problem. I mean, only two have been confirmed, our ambassador to Mexico and our ambassador to the UN. Every other country, they're just sitting around because of Ted Cruz. It's one more reason to love Ted Cruz.
The man we all love to hate. What a pitiful creature
he is. I mean,
look,
you know, this. I mean, there's almost always an ambassadorial fight over one or two ambassadors in every administration. It just happens, but to block all of them, you know, it's crazy. It's bad. You know, that's not how a great power acts.
No, but Cindy McCain is coming up for her position at the Vatican. I want to see what he does about that.
Right. The food program. Look, these are important jobs. I mean, the idea of an ambassador may sound like a little dated, you know, from the days when there wasn't instant communications, but, you know, these are still important jobs and important parts of the world where you want to have influence. It's just, it's embarrassing not to have an ambassador in Saudi Arabia or Russia or China or India or
Republicans
Brazil.
Find nothing embarrassing, so that's just not even a word that you can put into their lingo these days. I'm going to talk about McAuliffe versus Glenn Youngkin. And Steve Bannon.
I'm right in the middle of it, yeah.
Yeah. McAuliffe is ticked off because he thinks a lot of his problem comes from the fact that the Democrats have messed around with getting the bills passed, and he's right about that, I think. And people have said he's not a good candidate, but I gotta tell you something. I think he's proven himself to be a shocker of a good governor. You know, because he was so tied up with the Clintons and the dirty part of the Clintons, and he turned out to be a really good guy.
I think. Look, he's an indefatigable, energetic force of nature.
Yeah,
kind of guy.
And committed.
But the problem here is that Youngkin is a Republican opponent, has found the kind of sweet spot of being Trumpy enough to keep the, you know, those folks animated and coming off as reasonable enough to keep the suburbanites and the independents on his side. And unfortunately, even though McAuliffe's been out of office for 4 years, he's kind of stuck as running as an incumbent, and it's not a great time to be an incumbent. So I'm worried. I wouldn't be surprised if he could pull it out, but if I had to bet now, I think he won't.
Well.
When you have very close polling, usually the challenger can add a couple of points at the end.
And Obama wouldn't be hawking if they didn't know the inside polls were a lot worse than the polls that.
Yeah, I think they know.
I think they're
not getting the black enthusiasm. They're weaker in the suburbs than Biden was. They're not doing great with the independents. And Republicans are all come home, so.
When's the date of the election?
November 3rd.
The reason I said that is because if they can pass this bill or one of these bills before November 3rd.
Yeah, I don't know how much that'll save or hurt him. It can't hurt.
It can't hurt, for sure.
It can't hurt. But I don't know if it'll save him, but it can't hurt. And it's got Youngkin.
You don't want me to go there. You don't want me to go there. Okay, so that one's on hold till next we speak. Reagan Ranch is in deep trouble, and maybe that's symbolic of something because the fire has surrounded this ranch and they've evacuated. And, you know, I blame Reagan for where we all are today. So I thought I'd put that in there. Civil War talk. I want to talk to you briefly about this because, Matt, this is now starting to bubble up into the conversation of people in Congress. You know, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the McCall, what's his name? The kid in the wheelchair. And I mean, you know, this is like not funny. This is not funny. I just like to say,
no,
this is scary stuff.
No, these are absolute lunatics. and you know, I'm not a big AOC fan.
Right. I hear
you. Know, squad and all that, but they're not lunatics.
Right.
I mean, this Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is seriously
deranged,
seriously unhinged.
Yeah.
And I don't think the danger is we're going to have a civil war. I think the danger is that people are going to get really violent and they're going to try to steal the next election.
I'm not entirely convinced that there's not enough in the outskirts of this country. You know, the in the mountains and the hills and the wherever, that there isn't weird talk going on. That's what I say. And the guns are out there, and they have.
Well, I guess if they want to secede, they can. You know.
Well, I think there's that too. I mean,
you can have the state of South, you know, West Virginia with no.
Well, I don't think West Virginia. Yeah, well, Texas is where I'm.
I mean, Southwest Virginia. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I just don't think this is a silly conversation. I think this is a real conversation, and I think we're at a very odd place in American history, and odd things are going on, and I don't think that they're necessarily being reported. But I think when you see your average local police stations infiltrated with some of these characters that they are, who are responding to this Trumpian kind of crap. Listen, down here, I got to tell you what, there are some scary trucks running around the streets down here.
Big
American flags and guns in the back of their trucks, and they have not abated since the election. If anything, they've increased, and not just in rural areas. They're everywhere.
I know, I hear you. So as we wind down...
Yeah. I want to talk about William Shatner.
Okay. That's a good note to hand on.
I know William Shatner. William Shatner did a very good thing for me at a very bad point in my life. first American Jew, I think, into space.
Interesting. Canadian, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But very, very from, by the way. Used to lead the temple in L.A. Most people don't know that about him.
You're right.
Yeah. God bless him. That was one of the most magnificent moments we've had in a long time. His magnificent enthusiasm and
absolutely. And 90.
At 90. Was he amazing? Amazing.
Amazing.
President Biden, you need to bring him up to the Hill and give him the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, get him a good honor. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr.
He's beloved.
Thank you, Mr. Shatner. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That took a lot of courage. I don't know if I... Right? At 90? Who knows
right.
what your body's going to do. You got anything before that we... that's it?
No. I think it's a good note to go on. It was a nice moment.
It was a good moment.
We needed that.
We need a lot more of those.
It's so true. I will see you next week.
I will see you next week. Have a
okay.
good one.
Good. You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for tuning in to The Helicaster Jane Show, a production of Resec LLC. The Helicaster Jane Show posts new podcasts Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, and is available at helicasterjane.com and on all your favorite apps. Be sure to visit us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and follow me on Twitter at The Hallie CJ Show. Until next time, this is Helicaster Jane.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.